once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as someone gently rapping, tapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door. "Only this and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember it was in bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I tried to borrow from my books the crease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore, nameless here forevermore. And the silken and sad uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, late night visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, this it is and nothing more." Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into the darkness peering along, I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the darkness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, Lenore. This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, Lenore. Merely this, and nothing more. Then into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon I heard again tapping somewhere louder than before. Surely, said I, that this is something in my window lattice. Let me see then what the threat is and the mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind and nothing more. Open here I flung the shutter, when with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not an instant stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bus, a palace, just above my chamber door, perched and sat, nothing more. Then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou, I said, art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is, night's plutonium shore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore, for we cannot help agreeing that no sublunary being ever yet be was blessed with seeing a bird above his chamber door, bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above the chamber door, with such a name as Nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul that word he did outpour. Nothing further than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, other friends have flown before, on the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Wondering at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, doubtless I said, what it utters is only stock or store, caught in some unhappy master whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster. So when hope he would adjure, stern despair returned instead of the sweet hope he dared adjure. The sad answer, never. nevermore. But the raving, still beguiling all my sad soul into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of the bird and bust and door, and then upon the velvet sinking I betook myself to linking, fancy unto fancy, thinking that this ominous bird of yore, with this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore, met in croaking, nevermore. This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing, to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my heart at ease reclining, on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er. But whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press, nevermore. Then, methought, the air grew denser, perfume from an unseen censer, swung by angels whose faint footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. Wretch, I cried, thou God hath lent thee, by the angels he hath sent thee, respite, respite, and nephew from the memories of Lenore. Let me quaff this kind nephew, and forget the lost Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still if bird or devil, whether temper sent or without tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate yet all undaunted on this desert land enchanted, on this home of horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing evil, prophet still, bird or devil, by the heaven that bends above us, by that God that we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden within the distant Aden, it shall clasp a saint and maiden whom the angels call Lenore. Clasp a rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. But that word our sign in parting, bird or friend, I shrieked upstarting, get thee back into the tempest and the night's plutonium shore. Leave no black plume or as a token of that lie thy soul hath spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from my heart. Take thy from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flirting, still sitting, on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, and his eyes have all the seeming of a demon that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor, and my soul from that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.